Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
All right, this is the MGB review of the last event of EPPW.
Yep, Eastern Panhandle Pro Wrestling. What was the event called, Mason?
I don't know. The last event.
That's why I told you it was going to be good. I knew you didn't know that. Hashtag Summer Fury.
Oh, yeah. I remember that now.
First of all, let me start off with this. Public relations statement. This came out, I think it was either late June, I think it was, or early July. September 5th, 2021 would be Eastern Panhandle Professional Wrestling's 7-year anniversary, and we here are very proud of the accomplishments this organization has achieved. Never a dull moment nor regret in the endeavor was had. EPPW is extremely proud of the times we teamed up with the commentary and fans to give back. Times like these include the backpack drive with the Berkeley County Board of Education, the toy drive with the Ghostbusters, and collecting donations on behalf of the Martinsburg Rescue Mission. There are many more to list, but ones that have kept us close to our heart was the efforts to help Lavon and his family through difficult times. We are glad to have had the opportunity to make a difference where we could, and would do it again undoubtedly. It comes with timely confidence and sure choice that we here at EPPW are deciding to close this chapter of our lives on July 30th, 2021, with Summer Fury being our last show. I do not say this with sadness, but overall with joy, looking back at everything we did together with the fans and community's support. Thank you to everyone who has ever purchased a ticket, let us hang a poster at their establishment, sponsored our shows, and most of all treated us as a family. Thank you to the many faces that have passed through the curtain to entertain our passionate fans, and the distances that sometimes had to travel to do so. To the Middleway Volunteer Fire Company for letting us call you home, and to the late night spent breaking down the ring and saying farewell until next time. To the ones that kept this business alive, we look forward to seeing everyone as we tear down the house one final time on July 30th at EPPW Summer Fury for tickets, blah, 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 blah. And I'm going to stop at that point there. So that was kind of the setup for this one. This was an event I wanted to go to, but I didn't think we were actually going to get to this event. Originally, we were supposed to be going down to VCW, and the weather was not good, so I held off getting tickets. When the weather looked like it was going to be better, all the hotel prices in that area suddenly shot up, and it was over $100 a night. So I was like, I'm not prepared to spend that much for that. I wanted to go to this one anyway, so it seemed like the perfect opportunity to do it. Travel was pretty good. It's under 2 hours, even on a Friday. We've talked about before, Friday events can be really difficult to get to. But if you're heading west from where we are, they're not too bad at all. We're not going to talk too much about what we did on the way this time, except to say we were supposed to go and play disc golf, but we saw Dinosaur Land. Dinosaur Land is awesome. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about Dinosaur Land a little bit?
It just had a bunch of, like, life-sized dinosaurs.
Huh? There was a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they must have been like close 50. To 50. Yeah. They had a few by the side of the road. We saw the sign that said Dinosaur Land, and I was like, do you guys want to stop? And they were like, yeah. So I did a U-turn, and we quickly went there. And we must have spent nearly an hour walking around. Jay wanted a picture with every single one. I was quite happy to do that. It's a fun place. I posted pictures, and a few other people who'd been there said, oh, yeah, it's really cool. So I'm glad we got to do that. And once again, we just got lucky on our timing. Oh, we stopped at Bojangles. Yeah. We haven't had Bojangles in a long time. Got to tag, I thought it was Jay-Z Flair. He's now Jay-Z underscore Graham, the Bojangles champ. So we let him know that we would have been there for dinner as well. Of course, we had to have sweet tea as well, proper sweet tea.
Jackson didn't.
We did, though, because we like that. And yeah, timing was perfect again. It's difficult to plan things like that, particularly when you change the schedule. And we pulled up at 6:33 and doors opened at 6:30. So yeah, we got straight in, and the parking was what I'd remembered. The inside of the venue was not what I remembered. I thought it was a different... There's two in Kearneysville that are very close to each other. And in my head, I thought we were going to the other place. So that kind of confused me when I stepped inside a little bit. And we didn't know that. It was weird. The poster didn't say what time the bell time was for this one. It said doors open 6:30, but no... So I assumed 7, and I was wrong. It was 7:30. And not really much to do either. When we got there, there wasn't many seats left either. Considering it was 6:33, there wasn't many to choose from. We chose some right next to an ambulance that was near an exit. And yeah, that was it. I think we played, Noughts and Crosses. We played Hangman for a little bit. But I can't think of anything else particularly in the intro that would be of any relevance for this.
Yeah, I don't either.
Okay, all right, should we get to match one then? So around 7:30, they did come on, they did the announcement. Sometimes they'll come on early and say, hey, in like 30 minutes time, we're going to be starting, or in 10. I don't think they really did that. I think the music just started coming on around 7:30, and that was pretty much it. So match one I have as Thomas Mathis versus Miles Millennium. Let me talk a little bit about Thomas, who is the champion. 29 years old, from Pittsburgh. 3 years ring experience. I did see on their website they posted on July 1st he was their champion for 600 days at that point. Of course, some of that's due to COVID, but that's still kind of a long time. All right, what you got for this one?
Miles didn't come out, but the new tribe, one of their members came out and attacks Thomas and then wins. And then the commissioner says that that match wasn't supposed to happen. So now it's a triple threat match.
The result of that match still counted.
Yeah.
And that was kind of surprising to me. Like, you're not even scheduled to have a match, but you're allowed to come out. Now, what I didn't realize is a lot of that organization are actually the owners of EPPW. So they're the owners, they're the heels, they can kind of make up their own rules. I think one of them, though, is not affiliated with the group, and I'm thinking that's the person that said, no, we're not having that. Miles didn't even get his shot, so we're going to go triple threat, and we'll have that later. What was the guy who won the championship, then?
A Weasel.
See, that's what I thought, and when I looked it up, that's not his name, actually.
No, his name is Izzy Stone.
Izzy Stone, yeah, I missed that part totally. But everyone was calling him Weasel, and I was like, oh, I guess his name's Weasel. There was an English wrestler called Cat Weasel when I was growing up, so I was like, okay, Weasel makes sense. And when you're kind of sly, you're being Weasley. I guess that's why it's his nickname. So yeah, that was literally 2 minutes. Because basically, Thomas didn't even realize that Izzy was coming out. He attacked him from behind, pinned him straight away, boom, that was it. Straight away, done. I was thinking at this point, I was like, man, I think it was only scheduled to be 6-7 matches. And we thought at that point, it was like, wow, this could be a really tight 2 hours. We might get to get home a little bit quicker for this one. All right, what you got for match two?
Chris Klein versus Jordan Evans.
Now, I got some nicknames for this one as well. Too Fine Chris Klein and the Blue Chipper Jordan Evans as well. I recognize Chris Klein from when we went. We have actually been to EPPW once before. I think it was probably a few months before COVID, and we did a review for it. And I remembered Jordan Evans as well, because I remembered his t-shirts. But that, besides that, that's the only time we'd seen this one. Chris came out first, was being his normal heel and showing off. He talked about how there was a fluke, there was an anomaly last time he appeared. I guess he lost his last match. I think they had an event in April, actually. And someone for the crowd's like, oh, did you win? And then he talked about the fact, well, I was champ for over a year. So I was like, yeah, because of COVID. There were some really vocal fans in that organization, which I thought made it pretty good, actually. Like, you don't want the heels just to be given their spiel. You want to give them some grief at the same time. So I kind of like this as well. Go ahead.
Chris does a pat down to the ref, and an arm bar and a hair pull at the same time by Chris. There was also huge chops by Chris. Jordan does a reverse code breaker on the ropes, and a huge suplex by Jordan. And Jordan is on the top rope, and the new tribe distracts Jordan, and then Jordan's on top, and then distracts the ref, and then Chris wins with, like, he threw powder at Jordan's face.
He did, and when the ref came back in, he was looking at the powder on the floor. He's like, what's this? And they're just going, I don't know what it is. And Jordan tried to plead his case, but all to no avail. The heels, once again, this started off kind of like UEW. Like, the heels were dominant for this one. There was a lot of interference, etc., etc. We're actually recording this, Mason, on July 31st at 7:01 it is right now. This is Saturday. This is a quote from Twitter. Saturday, July 31st at 7 p.m., the Elite Pro Wrestling Alliance returns to the Short Gap Fire Department for a night of family pro wrestling action. Get your tickets today. And Jordan also tweeted out, tonight is the night. You won't believe what happens next. Come join Elite Pro Wrestling Alliance and find out what's in store for the Blue Chipper. So although this is the last event, there are a few other ones in West Virginia as well. Because I said, hey, don't forget to bring your shirt. And I got it in my head, I got it mixed up. Because I said, oh, you got the wrong shirt on. And you're like, I do. I'm trying to remember which one was ACTW, is it?
ATCW.
Atlantic Terror Championship Wrestling?
Yes.
Something like that. So I think that's in Kernersville as well. So that's still going ahead because I've seen events for there. That one I just mentioned is similar. It's probably about half an hour north of where we were last night as well. So yeah, those wrestlers, thankfully, there's still going to be organizations they can wrestle for. Because you did ask me, like, why are they closing? It's like, don't know. I have no idea. They didn't mention that at all. So, not sure if it was financial, might just be, hey, we have other things going on. Like, sometimes we've had to release those classic episodes when we've been too busy. Yeah, it's a lot of work put on a wrestling organization, so, yeah, I'm not sure what's going on, but yeah, there will be places for these people to still go, which is why I read that one out. Alright, match three?
Dead Sea versus Studio 22 versus The Faculty.
Alright, and this is where I didn't have the list of matches, so I wrote them down in the best order that I could. And I actually have this one in totally the wrong order. This one I couldn't find anything for at all in terms of when I was doing my research. Like Studio 22 just comes up with movie things. Dead Sea, obviously there's a Dead Sea, so that wasn't helpful. And Faculty as well. There was numerous things that came up for Faculty. One of the interesting ones was an article on Reddit, which was talking about which pro wrestlers do you know who were also teachers. There was one name that came up that I'd never heard of before. Somebody mentioned Deonna Purrazzo was an elementary school teacher when she was wrestling as well. I know she wants to go back into teaching when she retires because she's already talked about that. I had one more name that I thought of that they didn't mention. Any of you know, Mason?
Wrestling teachers?
Yeah.
Logan
Easton LaRoe was the first one I thought of straight away when I thought of that. Because their question was like, how do you like hide that from your employees? Well, I guess you wouldn't hide it from your employees, but if you got a black eye... That would be really bad if you came into school with that. Or you got like a cut on your face or a slash on the side of your face. Yeah, I don't know any I don't know any wrestlers who are deathmatch wrestlers that are teachers. I think that would be slightly different. Yeah. But I certainly thought of those ones. So yeah, I don't have anything for this one at all. So this is all you.
Imagine Deonna Purrazzo coming into class with a black eye and having to explain to like 5 and 6 year olds that she got punched in the face.
I'm gonna guess that you would explain it as that you're acting, which is kind of true. I guess you'd explain it that way, and something, there was a bit of an accident. I think you'd explain it that way to, now of course kindergartens aren't just 5 year olds. It could be, if you're in fifth grade, you're not that young, but yeah, it could certainly be interesting for that. Now, I want to check with this one then, because I think we disagreed a little bit on who were the heels and the faces for this one. So, because I thought Faculty originally were going to be faces because they were the teachers and they were the respect. I thought at the beginning I said, but they definitely were not. Oh, the Faculty, I love the jacket that the guy had. It had the leather patches on the out. It was like classic, like 80s, 90s teacher. I thought that looked really effective. They were definitely the heels. And I actually thought kind of all of them were pretty much heels. As Studio 22 were the champions, right?
yes.
You said two groups came in with belts. Yes. But the group that came in last, I think, were the current champions. They were probably the faces of the group, I would think of. All right, go ahead.
Me and Jackson were rooting for Dead Sea.
Uh-huh.
The Faculty got ganged up on.
Oh, so you were rooting for the heels then? No. Not the champions.
Well, yes. Always.
Oh, okay.
For the
I didn't
Dead
know
Sea.
You were rooting for, I thought you said you were rooting for Studio 22. Okay.
No.
All right.
Got ganged up on. Captain Decapitate's hat got stolen.
Mm-hmm.
And Dead Sea was getting pinned, but Captain Decapitate distracted the ref.
Mm-hmm.
And Studio 22 wins by tripping Dead Sea and then kneeing them to the back of the head.
And I asked Jackson, I was like, well, you're obviously supporting the Faculty, right? Because your dad's a teacher. And he was like, no, the look he gave me. He knows who he wants to support, and he's very adamant who he wants to support. I think when we get to the next match, we'll probably talk about how much of a so that the fact is. Sometimes even if somebody was a face, he would still root against them. Or he would boo the face if they actually won. But hey, he didn't do that for this one. I'm trying to think what else there was for this one. There was something I wanted to talk about the captain, but I can't remember. Captain we saw at Voltage Wrestling. And we actually, I remembered him, this was the first time we actually saw him, well, I guess it was a year and a half ago now, because we saw his outfit and we were like, whoa, his outfit's really cool. So we got to see him in there. He wasn't wrestling, but he was like the manager. And I think we got to talk to him a little bit later, but it sounds like he's going to have a bigger role at Voltage Wrestling coming up as well. Because in the first one, it was kind of just a promo.
Yes.
And that was all we had. So, sounds like there's going to be a little bit more coming up when we go to Voltage next time. All right, match four. And from here on, it's going to be you because I don't know the order. I had to guess.
Thomas Mathis versus Weasel versus Miles Millennium.
All right. So for this one, I did look at Miles for this one because he was actually... He didn't actually even appear in match one because he didn't get the chance to. I did see on Facebook he was returning to try and become the three-time... Was it Cruiserweight Champion? I can't remember what the title was.
I believe so, yes.
I saw this on Facebook just as we were getting ready to leave this morning. And then when I came back, I thought, oh, I better write this down. But I didn't have the post open anymore. So, yeah. So Miles has wrestled here before. We already talked about the other two already. So go ahead, Mason.
Izzy tries to team up with Miles, and Miles shakes hands, but when Izzy turns around to, like, show off to the crowd and his teammate, and his, the other members of the new tribe, Miles just kicks him, super kicks him in the face.
Yeah, and we were on that side of the ring, it looked really effective. This was definitely two faces against one heel, which was good. If it had been two heels and one face, it would have been very tough for Thomas to win this one.
And the new tribe sit in the crowd and let Miles and Thomas fight. Thomas superplexes Miles and a spin powerbomb win for Thomas.
Now, I wrote down, I didn't write much down for this, but I wrote a couple of comments on my iPod because my phone was getting seriously drained. One of the comments was, because Izzy had his hands on the ref, and I was like, that's a disqualification. I was like, get him out of there. And you were like, it's triple threat. You can't disqualify
him. Even if he did get disqualified, he would keep the belt.
Okay, so that's my question then. So if you're in a triple threat match situation then, why don't you just hit the ref every time? You get disqualified, and then that's it. Or do you not get disqualified?
Because eventually the booker, not the booker, but the GM or the commissioner, whoever's like putting it all together, is going to say, no, you can't do that. And
I guess you could still get fined. Because they talk about wrestlers. I know they're not legit fines, but they talk about wrestlers getting fines for doing things. But yeah, that was something I wasn't sure. Normally, if you touch the ref, then that's it. Like, you're getting DQ'd or you're done. In a no DQ match, I don't know how that works. But if you're the champion, then you kind of want to get disqualified. And if you're the heel champion, you would definitely want to get disqualified. So I don't know. I don't know if that the ref is just very tolerant, a little lenient, perhaps.
The ref could press charges.
For assault, I guess. So, all right, it was something I thought about afterwards. I did see also for Miles, just added at Invictus Pro Wrestling 1, presents Rising Star Showcase, featuring at Generic Abs versus at Miles Millennium, and also is going to be appearing at Clamp Camp Leapfrog for the first time live, because that started up during COVID. So they appear on like an outside venue. That's going to be the first time they're going to have their show, so I'm going to be at that one next week as well. But yes, there was another show where Miles was a rising star. I thought I'd written it down, but I can't remember where it was. But yeah, I'm going to be watching that one on IWTV later when I get the chance. All right, I think I do know what next match five is. I think it's Sikkim versus Eric Ecton then, probably.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, because we were calling this one, because we said that I think there's only six or seven matches. And at this point, technically there'd been four, but one of them had been the repeat match, so technically it was three. So we were like, intermission time, right? Because we also said it's been way over an hour already. They're going to have an intermission. Nope. They start setting up the ring. The weird thing with this one is, while this was going on, they started to put something over the top of the ring. And we're like, and then we saw Captain... I keep wanting to say Captain Crunch. Captain Decapitate come out. And we're like, oh, it must be intermission. So I said, hey, I know you want stuff. Shall we go over there? So we went over there. And I bought some hot sauce. You got a picture, which you autographed. Jay got a mask, which he autographed.
That was during the real intermission.
Oh, that was a real intermission?
Yes.
We got the other t-shirt, yes. Didn't we? That's right. All right, I'm getting my order mixed up. Yeah, because they were selling t-shirts off because it's the last event. So $10, or they said $20 for a bundle.
One t-shirt, two autographs. And there was the one little Velcro belt thing.
Like a little Velcro belt? Yeah.
Two cozies, yep. And then two or three of those little things that you put
for
on your...
ID.
Yeah, you put on your waist so you can, like, stretch it.
So I was like, sure, we'll pay $20 and get all that little extra things as well. So we're happy with that. Took it out to the car, because they were like, oh, no, it's not the intermission. They're setting up for the hardcore match. I was like, oh, okay. So we dropped that stuff off. Was it always during this one as well where you guys got food?
No. Well, that was during the match.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Yes.
So, during that one as well, Jay was starting to get hungry, of course, because he always does. So, we got some popcorn. Nachos were the most cheese I've ever seen on nachos, yes. And they were so good.
Yes.
They were really good. So we took our time to get there. Because I figured as well, for things, I didn't know they had popcorn because I didn't see it listed. So but I saw somebody walk away with popcorn. So we got that. But also, it takes time to make the popcorn because they do it in the microwave. So we went at the right time because no one was in line at that point. And then that gave us the intermission then to go and talk to people like Captain Decapitate. Actually, there was three people we wanted to talk to. Miles, Sickened, and Captain Decapitate. And they were all next to each other. So I'm like, let's get the food now. We don't have to worry about it. And yeah, so this is the hardcore match. The thing I took from this one is Eric, I didn't realize, it says on his Twitter feed, pro wrestler, hashtag Riot City trained, mm-hmm. Hashtag hoodlum. So obviously those guys have a history. That's not the guy. Remember when Sickened broke up the Riot City? That was not Eric Ecton, though. I can't remember who it was, but I did look up online some of Sickened's matches, and it's not Eric Ecton. So I didn't realize at that time there was that rivalry between them. I do have this question for you. Do you know what Sickened's real name is?
No.
Nick Sickened Taylor. I didn't realize that at all.
Like his shoot name?
No, I think that's his wrestling name. So I can't think of any other off the top of my head. But yeah, when they have that, Sickens like his nickname, but his real wrestler
Biggie
is...
Biggie Langston.
There you go. So for example, something like that. Yeah. So when I searched for him, I typed in Sickened, because I know I follow him and I thought it would bring it up. It brought up a post and it says, and this is where I got the Nick Taylor part from. Nick Sickened Taylor said he is trying out for Nova Pro Sink or Swim. Like everybody we know seemed to try out for that. I was like, I don't remember him trying out for Sink or Swim. I looked it up, he didn't, so I don't know what happened. I didn't see any post saying, sorry, Nick Sickened Taylor will not be available for this event now. So, don't know what happened, but he was scheduled to appear at that event
for a tryout
show,
you don't really...
Yeah, it was a tryout, so it's not like it was the main card or anything, but yeah, he was supposed to be there, didn't happen. All right, Mason, what you got?
So we came back to our seats from about 5 minutes into the match because uh-huh. we did put all of our stuff in the car, grabbed a quick drink.
Uh-huh.
And Sickened gets two pinfalls at this point. The first.
Pretty quick.
Yes, pretty quick.
Yep.
Eric says, fork you. And he explains what he said that because there was 5-year-olds sitting there, so he didn't want to say what he really...
Now, that surprised me for this one, because we knew that this they had five... They said tickets for 5-year-olds and under are free or whatever. 11 and under, I think, was 5. I paid full price for Jackson, because that wasn't an offer online. I didn't realize that at the time. I thought they would have done... Like, if you're doing... It wasn't a death match, but if you're doing a hardcore match, I would have thought they would have done that right at the end. Like, I know you have to have your championship match, but I thought they would have done that much later, so younger kids could have left, but...
I think this is the perfect...
In some ways, though, there were certain things. One of the things in this one that really worried me was, they had the average things out. Like, they had the tables. They had bought the Lego bricks out later. They threw them up against, the side of the building. And they did all that sort of stuff. They got the barbed wire out that's like the crown. Now, on the real hardcore matches, they'll get that and they'll force it down over the person's head. And it will cut into their forehead. They'll start bleeding. And then you get that crimson mask. And I was like, that's going to be terrifying for 5-year-olds. He got that. He put it on the stomach of the person. And then put something on top of it. And then did an elbow drop on it. I was like, thank goodness. That would have been ridiculously scary. So I think there was some blood in this, but I think it was unintentional. I don't think
there was
a
little bit bleeding.
I think it was Sickened was bleeding in his mouth.
He had a little bit on his forehead from something.
But it was nothing.
I think Eric got hit in the head with a kendo, and that's how he bled.
There was definitely unprotected headshots, but it was a kendo stick, and we know that the ones they use now, they kind of...
I don't remember which match it was, but somebody placed the kendo stick down, and it just broke.
Yeah, it was that ICW no-holds-barred thing.
Oh.
It was at that one. I remember seeing that one there.
I think this is the perfect placement for this match, because the Weasel was in the first match and the fourth match. And then he had yet another match when he was in the tag team match.
He had a lot to do.
And
I think at one point
this was the perfect time for the intermission.
I thought they... Well, I'm not complaining about it particularly in that. If it's for the setup, because obviously you've got to tidy up after this. But they could have got one match less then and then put... But the way they broke it up, it was kind of like an hour and 35 minutes pre... intermission, and then less than an hour afterwards, which actually I don't mind. Now, I did actually wonder, I would rather have more in the first half. I did wonder, because there were some very young kids there, did they try and get in as much as they could before 9 o'clock? And then that's often when kids' bedtime is. I did see people leave at the intermission. and then didn't come back. There was a lot less people at that very last match, if you noticed. And then I wondered if that's why they did it. Like, hey, we only paid $5 to get them in, or if they're under five, we didn't pay anything to get them in. We've seen what we want to. We can now leave. That would have been the reason why I would have put this match, though, after the intermission for that reason. I would have had five matches. I would have had that tag team match first. Then the kids could have left, and then you can go for something a little bit more hardcore. But they toned it down. I think it had the right level of excitement. In the end, I think they got the balance right. But yeah, it might have been a little scary for some younger kids, possibly.
There was one other kid that looked about like 9 or 10 that was really enjoying it.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, I think JJ was really enjoying it as well. I didn't see him complaining about it.
I saw
him
quivering in his seat, head down, crying.
No, he was not. Now, you also said for this one, you didn't have much written down. I said,
yeah, because
I
was eating my nachos for like 75% of the
match. But I said, I think that's fine. Because I said, I think you're going to remember the main spots. Mm-hmm. So they brought that bag out. I already mentioned that it was Legos, which I thought was, I think that's always fun when they do that. I think that's a good way of younger kids to show that. It adds a fun element to something that can be a little bit more dangerous.
And everyone knows how much it hurts.
And everyone's stood on a
Lego
brick.
Well, at least when you live with Jackson, yes.
You've tried on a Lego brick. I think it's a pretty universal experience. It hurts way more than it should do. And, it was... I think this is how he got his equalizing fall, if I remember. So I think this took it to 3-3 at this point. I think there was Lego bricks on the plank, on the door, that were balanced on the chair, and I think he slammed him through that, and that's when he got his third fall.
Yeah.
I don't remember if you talked about the finish yet or not. I don't think
no.
so.
So, the Eric, he opened the garage door,
mm-hmm.
and then threw second into a truck that was right behind the garage door.
Yep.
And Eric attempted to run right into second, but misses. And Eric goes through a door and Legos, and there was a 60-second live countdown from, I think it was the commentator or whoever was doing the announcing, did a 60-second live countdown, but Eric was on the ground, so the ref was doing a 10 count,
mm-hmm.
and the 60-second live countdown was like 3 times faster than the ref counting to 10,
yeah,
and that was pretty bad, and yeah.
He didn't make the 10 count, so that was the fourth fall,
effectively. Yeah, that was the fourth fall.
And that made it 4-3. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing that I thought, I didn't
for
like
second.
That part either, because it was a, for second, correct. There was a lot of counting going on.
You
could
Why
have
didn't
just
you
said,
just pin him?
You could have just said 60 seconds.
Yeah.
30 seconds.
It.
You could have done it every 10, but it looked, like you said, it looked really bad when you've got main count going 60, and then a guy goes, 1, 59, 58, 57. 2, 56. It was really confusing. It was unnecessary. Why did you need to count down that much? If you tell the crowd, hey, look, you got 60 seconds to go, that's good. 30 seconds. Like, for 10, 9, I got no problems with counting down from 10, but to count a whole 60 seconds out, I didn't like that at all. And that would have been enough clues for the ref as well. Like, he doesn't have to time it to finish on 1 second. And I think it didn't. I think it finished on, like, 3 seconds or something. So I think it... And anyway, who's keeping track of it? There's no clock there. We've been at EW in Maryland where it says wrestlers are coming in every 60 seconds, and one time it was 30, and one time it was like 2.5 minutes. So no one's going to argue like, hey, I got my stopwatch going. That wasn't 60 seconds. That was like 60. As soon as they count, as soon as the ref goes, that's 10, ring the bell. They could have gone 5, 4, and well, it wouldn't matter because the match was over at that point. But yeah, that was one thing that kind of ruined that a little bit. But generally, I thought it was an exciting match. I thought it had the level of...
at the end.
Second, yes, he lays a belt down in the ring. He said he's not taking it with him because it's not really his belt, it's the organization's.
And then he started like the most awkward chant ever.
I would agree, yeah. Organizations, normally it's 3 letters, like EAW, things like that when you're chanting. And it doesn't work with 4 letters.
It's weird to say EPP.
It's like, all right, guys, let's go. EPPW. And I don't know. I guess the crowd do chant it, but it's not an easy chant to do, and it doesn't. It feels weird doing it with 4 letters, and the PP in the middle just makes me want to laugh as well, particularly. But
that's childish.
That is very childish, but it just doesn't sound good. EPPW.
I never really thought about that.
I thought Jackson would, but I guess he didn't either.
Know.
He probably never even thought about
he
it either.
He matured already.
He probably matured, and it was just me that noticed it. So then it was the intermission proper. We went across to Captain Decapitate, got all the stuff we talked about. Unfortunately, we knew Sickened wasn't going to be out because obviously he just had that match. But we actually did see him come into the crowd and actually talk to, I've already forgot his name, Ecton, I think it was. And so we knew he was okay as well. We actually asked at the start, before the matches even began, at Miles' table, hey, is Miles coming out? And she said, yeah, he should be out at intermission. He wasn't out at intermission. So she said, he'll be available later. After that, I was like, we got like a 2-hour drive later. And she said, oh, we got the same thing. So we'll catch Miles at some other point. Now, I don't know if you realize this then, Mason. Not one wrestler appeared at their merch table the whole time. Nobody was there pre-show. Nobody was there during the intermission. Captain was not wrestling. He was just the valet or the manager for that one. Not one wrestler. Like Jordan Evans, I didn't see Jordan Evans come out. Sickened was not by his merch table. Miles was not by his merch table. It was kind of weird. Like, they're all there. I understand. With this being a last event, it kind of made it different as well. Like, after the event had finished, they all wanted the official photograph, which I thought was a great idea. All the wrestlers were in there. They even grabbed the cameraman in. They were like, hey, we want you in here. They grabbed other people. They're like, well, you should be in this as well. I really got that feel. It was a family thing. Like, they wanted everybody, anyone who played any part in the organization, they wanted them in for the photograph. So even at the end, they couldn't quite go. By the time we'd left, there was, like, no cars outside either. So,
well, that was because you took forever to put the directions in.
No, when I got to the car, that wasn't the problem. There was nobody there at that point. Yeah, my phone was down to 5% and it wouldn't pick up. There was no signal there either. Mm-hmm.
This technology then, is too difficult.
Not technology, it was the battery that was the problem. Mm-hmm. It was down to 5%. My phone's getting a little old and it's draining a lot quicker now than I would like. And Jackson asked me to take 50 pictures while I was at Dinosaur Land. So
I thought you had like a
started to drain
charger
it.
In the car.
I got a charger here. I just need to take it. But I have it in the car, but it charges really slowly. Like, by the time I drive back for a 2-hour drive, it's probably got like 30% charge. Like, I know it's not going lower, but it's only going up really, really slow. So, yeah, so we did get some stuff, but we didn't quite get. We'll catch Sickened again at some point. With Sickened winning this match and him being the Voltage champion, that's definitely an autograph we would like to get at some point. And I'm sure we'll see Miles at different. We've seen him at 1CW. We've seen him at Voltage. We've seen him at EPPW now, so we know he travels around. I'm going to see him at Camp Leapfrog, so yeah, hopefully we'll get that at some point. All right, match 6, I think we're up to, Mason. I think this is the tag team then, right?
Yeah, the New Tribe versus Doken and Hansen.
Uh-huh. I have something for this one. I had this in the wrong order. Yeah, so the EPPW owners are Harlan Cano and Doken. So Doken is one of the EPPW owners, which I didn't realize as I was watching this match at all. That's all I got. You type in New Tribe and plus wrestlers, and there is a tag team called The Tribe, but that's obviously the wrong group. Mm-hmm. So, no, couldn't find anything.
Now,
so
here's where my notes are, like, a little messed up. Like, I don't know who Doken and Hansen are. I know they're the tag team, but I didn't know which one was which. So,
I don't know either.
I just picked the one at random.
I don't know which is which either.
And
that's the problem. Like, luckily, one thing that this organization did, which I forgot to say at the start, which was awesome, is they posted promos, pictures of every single match ahead of time with the names underneath. So when we saw somebody, normally we're like, who's that? And you're trying to listen. Sometimes it's not very clear. We knew as soon as you saw one face come out, you went to your phone, looked at the picture, and like, all right, it's this one here. That's really helpful. When you go into an organization that you don't know, I really like that feature. I thought that was great.
And so here's where I did the big brain maths, and, Weasel, Izzy, aka Weasel, wrestled in 43% of the whole card.
Approximately 43%.
42.8 if you want to be exact.
Well, that's not exact either.
What? Yeah, it is.
42.8571, so that's not exact at all.
That's not exact either. There's probably even more.
It's to 4 decimal places. I can keep going if you like that.
Yes.
42.8571428571428571428. See the pattern?
Yeah.
Well, it just goes on like that. Seventh, it's a repeating decimal. It repeats with 14258. 14257. And then it goes back to the start again.
Well,
you didn't know you were going to do some rounding lessons.
Good enough. It was good enough.
If you'd have said approximately 43%, that would have been fine, but you said exactly.
Good enough.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
good enough.
No one would have known otherwise, anyway. Say it was 3 out of 7, right? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be easier just to give it a fraction for this?
No, it doesn't sound impressive.
Three out of seven doesn't sound impressive?
No, I mean as impressive. 43% sounds cooler than 3 out of 7.
Alright. I think if you want to convey information, 3 out of 7 would be far more useful. If it had 100 matches, if it had 100 matches and you appeared in 43 of them,
I did the harder work.
You typed that in your phone.
No, I didn't.
So how did you work 3 out of 7 was 43%?
I memorized it.
From what? Your phone?
No.
When you typed it in your phone?
No.
There's no way you do 3/7 is 43
on
your phone.
No, not on my phone.
42.85714285. There's no way you do that in class.
No, we don't do that, but I memorized it from doing fractions in third grade.
You do not do the repeating decimals like that in third grade. All right, come on, tell us about the match.
The new tribe is pulling hair. The new tribe is double teaming Dokken and Weasel. I already said that. Dokken struggles to get to Hansen and finally does. Dokken takes out all three. On the outside, Dokken and Hansen win with a flurry of moves and then a powerbomb to finish it off.
Okay, now I don't have anything for this one, but I did realize I missed something out for after the second match. He's actually been in a Lego deathmatch before. October 2020, J.W. Dalton defeats Sickened, T.P.W. Halla Wicked at Smoky Mountains Athletics in Maryville, Tennessee, USA. And Sickened... on July 29th, really, at Domino's, gonna go all crybaby over at AEW and the at Nick Cage doing a pizza cutter spot. LMAO, you really are the weakest link for fast food pizza, right? Behind at Pizza Hut, of course. Now, you're gonna have no idea what any of this is, but this is why I wanted to bring this up. Did you even realize Nick Cage was on AEW this week?
No.
So he was fighting Jericho?
Oh yeah, and there was light tubes. I heard you talking to someone.
There was light tubes.
I heard a lot of F-words.
With the death match. I think I was talking to TW Takes.
Was it recorded?
Yeah. Yeah, the door. I guess I didn't close the door for that one.
Nope. I was sitting petting the cat on the couch. And I can hear you from all the way upstairs.
Yeah, his is not PG. So I had to make sure I fit it in with his podcast. They had obviously on the death matches, you've seen the pizza wheels, right? Like they run them across their head. So they did that and then they cut to a commercial. It was one for Domino's, and Domino's are not happy about it at all.
What? Apparently,
they don't think it's good publicity. I totally disagree. Next week they should have a pizza wheel with Nick Gage written on the side of it, or they should have Nick Gage there sponsoring it. And that's what they're advertising on a wrestling show. The wrestling fans want to see that stuff. Boom. You just got instant free publicity for this because those two things linked in together. And they're there complaining, saying they're going to pull all their publicity. I say, go ahead, pull all your publicity. Let another company jump in, whoever it is, and they can get Nick Gage as their sponsor, and they can get him cutting the pizza and then cutting it against his head. Whatever you need to do. I can't believe that they're not marketing this more. Absolutely ridiculous, but I wanted to make sure that you knew Nick Gage was on AEW. It was a great match. You should look it up on YouTube. It's definitely worth seeing.
Listen to TWT.
It's 2.5 hours long, so yeah,
what?
Go ahead and listen to that one. No, 2 hours and 33 minutes.
I'll just skip to the Jericho match.
You don't know when that... No, it's not like that. It's not that. It was just people... It was his 100th show.
Uh-oh.
People were just dropping in and chatting, so...
Wait, like, it was just like,
So, good luck finding that in the 2-hour, 33-minute clip.
Wait, what?
Why don't you just watch the 4-minute video that's on YouTube?
Okay, that sounds good.
And then you can actually see the pictures. It was their number 2 spot of the week, I think. Or it might have been number 1 even. But yeah, it shouldn't be too difficult to find. Alright, main event time then, Mason. Corey Bush and DeMarcus Cain. I didn't realise this. I saw an interview online when I was researching, not for this match, but for something else. And they did an interview with DeMarcus Cain. This was actually his debut.
Oh, it is?
At EPPW, so... I'm not sure how that guarantees him an instant shot at the title, but hey, I didn't get to find that one out. We have actually seen DeMarcus Cain before, and I knew we had, but I couldn't remember where we'd seen him. Do you know where we'd seen him before?
No.
I tell you? All right. Well, he also went by the name Napalm or Napalm Bomb, and recently he's appeared at MCW. He was with Solo, and he defeated Diego Cruz and Killian McMurphy. And we saw him in January 2018, MCW Heavyweight Title number 1 contendership. The Bomb Squad, Bishop Khan, Malcolm Moses, and Napalm Bomb, defeated Brandon Scott, Chuck Lennox, Dirty Money, and Drolix. MCW Breakthrough, The Emergence. That was when we went to annual birthday. So that's where we'd seen him before. And also, I think the other reason I've seen him before is he's also appeared at VCW multiple times. I think some of those ones I've seen on PowerSlam TV, I think that's where I've seen him from as well. All right, go ahead, Mason.
So there was the weight. What do you think Corey, do you remember what Corey Bush is like? So fill in the blanks.
Weight of the world?
Blank, yeah. The announcer said it, waste of the world.
Oh, as in W-A-I-S-T?
Yeah.
Perhaps that's an EPPW thing then, huh? I didn't pick up on that. Now, I gotta say though, your hearing was pretty bad on this trip, so I'm gonna guess it's possible you misheard. Like, we had our playlist on as normal, and it's like, guess the tune, and Jackson goes, oh, that's Kane.
I was listening to other stuff.
And then you were like, I'm surprised you don't know this. I'm like, we already said it's Kane.
I was listening to other stuff,
and there was
too.
Other multiple occasions where that happened.
I was listening to more important stuff.
And when Jackson says something about the cat, you often mishear that as well. So you've not been too good recently on this one, but I'm going to prepare to give you the benefit of the doubt. But go ahead, tell us more about this match.
So Corey runs the ropes, and DeMarcus goes on his stomach, so Corey will, like, leap over him. And Corey instead just steps on him.
Yeah, there was no reason to do that. I kind of like that. Sometimes they'll do a fake one where they'll just run over. There was no reason for that. Like, if you can stop yourself, you stop yourself, and then you do that move. No, I like that.
DeMarcus stops himself from getting pushed into the post from Corey, and Corey then crushes him against the post by running into him.
Yep.
Corey sits on DeMarcus, and DeMarcus is sitting on a chair, and that chair was bending a lot.
I'm not surprised. Well, Corey's, I think it's
400 pounds, they said.
400, yeah. And I would say DeMarcus is like, a big guy as well.
Yeah.
He's tall and he's
200?
Strong.
250?
With all that muscle, he could be between, I'm guessing, really... he could be between 250 and 300, I would think.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, nearly 700 pounds on the chair. Yeah, I'm sure that chair's going to show a little bit of signs.
Uh-huh. Yep. DeMarcus misses...
This was on the outside, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
DeMarcus misses a dive off of the top rope.
Corey rolled out of the way.
Yeah.
Very smart.
And Corey misses a splash when he tried to splash on top of DeMarcus.
He took his,
He gave us a naval review.
What's that called? The straps. Yeah, he took the straps off, so you know he's going for his finisher. He moved out of the way, but I think the next time he tried it for again, I think he did get it, right?
Uh-huh.
I think there was a kick out at two, and then he tried it successfully for a second time, and that's when he finally got the pin.
DeMarcus gets a foot on the rope at 2.99.
Yep.
And
that's why it didn't work.
DeMarcus is on the top rope, and Corey shakes the ropes to make him slip, and Corey wins with two splashes in a row. I think it was only supposed to be one, but then the ref messed up, or DeMarcus messed up, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of liked it that it didn't work instantly, because I thought at that point I was like, oh, is DeMarcus coming back? And I kind of liked that, because I was expecting it to end like that, but no, it didn't. I think I also... Why wouldn't you show a little bit of extra strength for DeMarcus as well, though? It makes him look good. Like, it makes him a more credible opponent. It shows you that Corey had a tough match.
He was a face, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And during a little bit after the match, Corey was starting to show signs of an Anthony Green. Don't know if you remember that.
Yes, I remember. I thought he had something of merit to add at this point. All right, Corey Bush also did the same thing. He thanked kind of everybody. He laid his belt down in the ring as well and left it at that. On Twitter or Facebook later, I can't remember which it was now, Corey, EPPW had its final show last night. It was my last stand to defend the EPPW Heavyweight Championship. There is no doubt that DeMarcus Kane showed everyone last night that he could walk through the door and hand me my ASS. But nonetheless, I fight... We're still PG, right?
Yes.
I struggle, I persevere, and I came out the victor and your EPPW Heavyweight Champion forever. Thank you, EPPW, and thank you, wrestling fans in the Panhandle. One thing I forgot, actually, in the intro, he was introduced as being Corey Bush from Hagerstown, Maryland. So that's where we originally saw Corey Bush. So that was his hometown as well, not just Eli Drake, as he was at that time. So I didn't realize that at that point. I figured he was from Maryland, but I didn't know he was from Hagerstown.
Still is, right? Eli Drake?
LA Knight. Yeah, last time you saw NXT, probably Johnny Gargano was still with Tommaso Ciampa as part of the
OWL. Johnny Gargano was out. He was attacked.
It's been a while.
Brutally attacked by someone, and they were trying to figure it out. And I still don't know who it is.
It's been a while. Effin Lefevre on Facebook, he described himself as your boy on the mic, so I'm guessing this is the announcer. The last event of EPPW is now come and gone, and another chapter in my life comes to a close. It's not about mourning. It's not about feeling sad. Tonight was about reminiscing in the memories created in the EPPW arena. Like when WWE Hall of Famer Coco Beware did the Birdman dance with us, when Titan turned on Dokken, and Crucial Impact imploded, and when the new tribe was finally defeated and Izzy Stone was kicked out of ownership. Tonight was about showing everyone how much we appreciated every opportunity we've been given to show you why we were the best around. But most importantly, tonight was about creating a lasting impression in the minds of the talent, the employees that gave their time and effort to make this happen, and above all else, every single fan that has joined us over the last 7 years. EPPW has become a second home for me, and I hope it has for everyone else involved. A place to escape the real world and enjoy ourselves at our highest potential. A place I will cherish forever. Thank you to everyone who took a chance on me, to everyone that believes I had something special to offer, and most importantly, thank you for all the memories. I did see somebody posted on Facebook a lot of these matches already. So if anyone wants to go and watch any of these matches, I am going to post the link for this, and then you can kind of scroll through. I'll try and do each match individually if I can and put it in the notes that way so people can get them. And perhaps when I post the release for this, Mason, I can post those links there as well. So if people want to see any particular matches, they can do that. It looked like the hard cam. I didn't notice a hard cam, to be honest, when I was going. It looked like it was set up where the
You didn't like look at it when it was right next to Captain Decapitate.
You did not see
that big hard cam right next to him.
No, because I wasn't looking at that. Looking at the people. If I'm talking to Captain Decapitate, I'm going to look at Captain Decapitate's eyes. I'm not going to start going looking all around. Oh, that was a funny thing with JJ again, as usual. When we got our picture with Captain Decapitate, I took like six because he was looking all over the place again. I got one picture with him looking in the middle, so I think we're good.
Fortunately, it shut down because this place is like not only good entertainment, but it's an amazing restaurant.
Because of the nachos?
Yes.
You're disappointed because you can't get nachos anymore? I think we can find nachos again.
But we would have got nachos at Taco Bell, but Jackson doesn't like anything.
No, I'm not going to take him to a restaurant.
He doesn't like cheese.
He went to Bojangles. Why are you complaining? You love Bojangles.
I'm not complaining about that.
Bojangles is excellent food. That was way better than anything we had planned originally. So, no, that worked out perfectly for that. I love it on the nachos when you run out of chips before you run out of cheese. I hate it when you run out of cheese first and you got like half a basket full of nachos and there's nothing to dip.
I ran out of stomach space before I could.
That didn't surprise me. That did not surprise me. When I saw them, I was like, oh my gosh, that's a lot. I was hungry because for some reason my adult sandwich that I got was smaller than your kid's meal.
Yeah.
That sandwich was not that impressive. It said steak sandwich, and I'm thinking something
like you get from McDonald's.
It was like a cheap burger. That's what it looked like. And it had one slice of tomato and a big piece of lettuce. And I was like, that's it. I was like, oh my gosh. This was like a 99 cent burger that was like $5.50. I was like, I was not that impressed. Yeah, I should have just got the kid's meal. Hey, I thought about this afterwards. You know, so when you're in a restaurant, it obviously says kids' meals, and it tells you age, whatever, under whatever it is. If you're going through a drive-thru, they can't prove that. I could say, hey, I want, for our family, I could say, I want four kids' meals. They're not going to be able to and I could just go, it's for my four kids. Not that they're going to ask anyway. How old are the kids?
You could walk in by yourself with someone clearly over the age of 12, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could bring another 50-year-old, and you could say, I want two kids' meals.
Yeah.
They would not
tell you
no.
I probably won't. Yeah, they probably wouldn't. I like that McDonald's doesn't do that and just calls it Happy Meals.
Yes.
Because sometimes if I'm not that hungry, like, I don't want a big meal. I just want, like, I want a few fries. I might want a few nuggets. Apple slices is a nice bonus, and then you can give it.
If you order something and you're not rude about it, and then they're going to just tell you no, you can't order that.
If it says, though, for age, whatever it is, and under, and you know it's not for that.
You could just say you're getting it for your two kids that are coming after you.
You could. Oh, I don't think we've talked about this on the podcast yet, but I saw it. Actually, we can't go because I saw this last week, last Sunday. Somebody mentioned that if you go to McDonald's and you get the large fries and then you eat them all, you can go, hey, can I get a refill on my fries? That they've been instructed to give refills out. And apparently at Wendy's, too. Only on the large fries. So we haven't had a chance to check that because we haven't done that yet. But it makes sense. If you get it for sodas, why not for fries?
Because fries are more expensive?
Possibly.
Why not get a refill on burgers, too? Why not get a refill on apple slices and everything?
Can I get a refill on my Big Mac? I don't know. I'm going to guess they'd refuse that. But I'd like to try the one on fries.
Why not buy one instead of buying three large fries for, instead of buying three fries for everyone, buy one large fry and get two refills.
You good?
They do it for drinks because people don't usually share drinks.
You good? I don't know. Anyway, I'm curious to try it.
But... I feel like if it is real, that would honestly be good for if you were like homeless. Because you could buy one fry.
You could buy a small fry. No, you only want large.
You could buy a large fry, get as many as you want, pass it to your friend.
Get one to leave, and then take them to them. Yep. We did that one time with popcorn when we were... Because that's ridiculous. Like,
the Capitals game.
Capital One Arena. Like, it was so expensive. But it was like, well, if you can get a refill. And then we just used to get a refill. Because we're like, we can take this home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can eat popcorn anytime. Like, you like it as a snack. He likes it as a snack. And then as we were leaving, there was somebody who was like, had a sign, like, I'm hungry. And I was like, do you want the popcorn? Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah. So he took it. We had one other time when someone was about to get in line and they'd already closed. And we're like, look, we have a whole bag here. Go ahead, take it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we've used it a few times on things like that. All right, anything else to wrap up?
No.
All right, I'm not sure if we're going to get one more episode in. You're heading up to Ohio in just over a week's time. You do.
We have basketball camp in 2 days, I think.
Yeah, so I'm not sure exactly how it's going to work, but we have a few hiatus episodes prepared. We actually have one recorded, if you remember, the MLW. Yes. They've started to show that now. They have actually showed the Battle Riot 3 last weekend, so we can definitely put that out. But yeah, I'm not sure what the next few episodes are.
This is MGB, and we're out. Peace.
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at CompuTech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/